This morning we're going to talk about angels. And in no way, shape, or form is this message all-inclusive. It's too large of a subject. I'm going to try to pick through some pieces, some salient points that I believe we need to know as the body of Christ to take it to the next step, to take us to the next level. Because people don't understand angelology sometimes. I'm going to read Genesis 3:24. It says, "So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." This is the first instance that an angel, or the instance of angels, are mentioned in the Word. And the importance of a word, the first time it's used, is you go to find out what it means. Because it sets the stage for everything after that, and it gives you the first importance of when God used it. God didn't put anything happenstance in the Word. But let's look at that word, cherubim. We have heard about that ending that we see as I am. Im, mem. The Hebrew letter mem. What does the Hebrew letter mem tell us? It's plural. Jerusalem. Elohim. Cherubim. It wasn't one angel. It was at least two. It was plural. God said that he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden. He said angels there. We always think, because it's cherubim and we don't understand Hebrew, that he said an angel there with the flaming sword. He said an army, a multitude. He said the number of angels he needed. It was at least two. It may have been more at the Garden. So when you see cherubim, it's multiple. What was on the mercy seat? Cherubim, specifically two of them facing each other. He didn't say cherubs, that would be one. He said cherubim. So when you look in the Hebrew at angel, the English is malak. And the definition is from an unused root meaning to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger, specifically of God, i.e. an angel. Also a prophet, priest, or teacher could be called an angel. But in this instance, it's not talking about a prophet, priest, or a teacher of man, a mankind. It's an angelic being, an ambassador from God to do his particular work. It's a messenger from God. That's what the angel is. God gives him a task, and he's there to do that task. Don't try to change his mind, because he's there for a purpose. Now, there are ranks of angels. The problem is, it depends on who you ask, what rank is where, or what they say the ranks are. In the ranks, you'll notice there's numbers out to the side, 1 through 10. And I'm going to not probably say these correctly in pronunciation. Cheot HaKodesh, Ophanim, Erelim, Hashmalim, Seraphim, Makalim, Elohim, Ben Elohim. Okay. Ben. Remember Phil said Ben and Bat? Okay. Bat is daughter. Ben is son. Sons of God. We know that from where the sons of God went into the daughters of men, and it was cursed, and that's where the giants came into the land. Cherubim and Ish-M. You notice the ending of these? They're all M. I am. They're all the last letter, Mem. All of them are multiples. Except the first. Okay? So we're going to go to another piece here. If we look at, you notice the various scriptures? We'll talk about some of these where I feel they're more important, but in Ezekiel chapters 1 through 10, you hear of these two. Isaiah 33:7, we'll come to that a little later. Ezekiel, different places that the these angels are at. But I'm going to go to a different ranking that I got from a book called Angels, Angels, Angels by Billy Graham. Now, I already had this message together, and we went over to Mom's yesterday, and next to the chair where I usually sat was the book, Angels, Angels, Angels by Billy Graham. And I said, hey, do you mind if I borrow this book? And she said, I think that's the book you gave me. I said, yeah, can I borrow it for just a little while? Because I wanted to double check what I'd already studied, especially about the ranking of angels. And he had four ranks that he placed in there with Scripture. And I said, okay, I'm going to go with those. They meet some of those. He talks about some of the same things that we did in that rank of 10. But there are different rankings that I found different places. The problem is some of the rankings came from the Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. Some of them came from the Talmud and the Mishnah. And so I would rather go to the ones that he has that came from Scripture. And I'll stand on those because they come from these other lists, but we're only going to talk about those four. According to that book, the archangel, Michael. Let's go to Jude 9. And the reason I say Jude 9 is it's Jude chapter 1, verse 9. There's only one chapter, so Jude 9 fits. Jude 1, verse 9 says, let Michael the archangel. How clear is that? It doesn't say an archangel. It doesn't say an archangel. It says the archangel. That's not plural, is it? Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So, in Jude 1, 9, we're told that Michael is the archangel. In Dan 10, 21, we have another place talking about it. But basically, the archangel is one who is like unto the Lord. Now, it's believed that Lucifer was another archangel, and he's the one that fell. That's who the Satan is. That's who the devil is. That's why Michael was fighting him, contending with him. He was the only one in heaven that had been created on the same level as him. But he's like unto the Lord. Okay? And the next ranking that Billy Graham has is the word angel. And the word angel actually means God's messenger, as we've already said. Daniel 8:16, we're going to do a few places in Daniel here. Daniel 8, verse 16. Turning of pages. As Phil said, I love it. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of a Ulay, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Gabriel is an angel that was a messenger of God to help Daniel understand the vision. He was an angel. And you go over to verse 9:21. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Now, how many of you have ever seen a man fly without a plane? So we know the man that he saw that flew towards him, he knew it wasn't a man that walks around like you and I. He's saying that he was looked just like a man, but he flew towards him. He could see Gabriel in that image, in that vision, and he was an angel, had a name, and had a purpose, had a message, was sent by God. Okay? How about Luke 1, You remember when Gabriel was talked about in Luke chapter 1? Let's turn there, and that starts with verse 9. According to the custom of the priesthood, this is talking about Zacharias. We know him as John the Baptist's father. He was one of the priests. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Okay? An angel came and gave him a message. And if you go through the message, you understand that he was telling him about John that was going to be born. Verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." How blessed do you feel Gabriel must have been to be able to be the one to bring the message to Mary that she was blessed among all women, that the Christ child would be in her. That'd be a special messenger. So we see an angel is a messenger. There is a purpose that God is sending that angel to do. He goes in his wisdom, but he goes in his authority with his message. The next ranking is seraphim. And the seraphim is after the archangel and the angel. 1 Peter 3:22. We'll read there. First Peter 3:22 says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God? Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." So the angels are listed there, but then authorities and powers. And that's the seraphim. Okay? We can go to Isaiah 6:1-6 and read further about that. But a seraphim has a ministry. And their ministry is to praise the name and character of God in heaven. We read in Revelation how that the angels fall down. And the angels worship him. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Some of the songs we sang today had beautiful choirs as part of the songs. Beautiful harmonies, melodies, and beautiful voices. But the sound of angels singing is going to be well beyond anything a human voice could ever bring. And these are the seraphim that are singing, "Glory, glory, holy." Because they bring praise to his name and his character. And then there's the cherubim. Well, they had mighty tasks, right? They had the task in the Garden of Eden to guard the tree of life. They had the task on the mercy seat. They also were the decorations in Solomon's temple. The temple had cherubim in the tapestries and on the walls. They were also in various places. You can read Ezekiel chapter 10. They've been tasked with protecting the glory of God. In Genesis 3:24, what, like as we read earlier, guarding the tree of life. Now there's many different times that the angel comes to do things, and it has to do with protection. Remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they're going through the wilderness? Numbers 22, verses 21 through 39 tells us about a man named Balaam. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went in with the Moabite officials. Remember, he was going to go and put a curse on the children of Israel. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road and opposed him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow, this is verse 24, angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, he pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. And you go on and you read further. A third time, he beat the donkey because it stopped. He got to a place where he had to go between two places, and he was there. What ended up happening is Balaam didn't see that donkey, that angel. Next thing you know, he saw the angel with his drawn sword, and he said, "Oh, I didn't know you were there." He says, "Yeah, but he did. Why did you beat him? He saved your life these three times." The story goes on. He said, "Well, if it's okay with you, I'll go back the other way." And he said, "No, you're going to go on, but you're only going to say what I tell you to say. The message that I have for you to say." In other words, he ended up blessing Israel instead of cursing Israel. If he had decided, "No, I'm not going to do that," he'd have died right there. So the angel has a message, but he also has a line drawn in the sand. You're not going to go past this because God said you're not going to go past this. So the angels are there to do things. He was there to protect Israel from a curse that would have been spoken over them. Okay? So these angels, this angel was invisible to him, but the donkey could see him. And then he was visible. So they can be visible and they can become invisible. Whatever is needed for that work. What about during Lot and Sodom? Those angels were visible. The people of the city saw them. They grabbed Lot and his daughters and wife by the hand and drug them out of the city. They were just as visible, just as tangible as you and I. Could they have just walked in and said, "Poof, fly you out of here"? But they came in and they took them out the same way they could go. And they rescued them. They were on a mission. They were sent as messengers to get your stuff together and let's go. Angels are ministering spirits. Luke 22, verses 41 through 43 says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw." This is talking about Christ. This is at the garden. "And he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him." Billy Graham mentioned in his book many times, he did not feel the physical strength to be able to minister to all those people that were filling that stadium. He said, "But the angel of the Lord, the strength of the Lord came to me, and I was able to minister like a dying man to dying men. But I was able to minister outside my own strength." And this same thing happened to him. He knew it was the presence of God and an angel of the Lord that was sent to him to strengthen him. And we know what the results are. We can watch his messages and see the crowds coming to the Lord. Many multitudes that have been saved in these crusades. He said, "I was just a man, and I knew the angel came and strengthened me." We have the Word of God here telling us that he does the same thing. Hebrews chapter 1, 13 and 14 says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" The angels are our ministering spirits. They are sent to minister to those of us who would accept salvation. They're not sent to minister to the world who is not accepting Christ. That means that there are angels that are sent to minister to you. Right? That's what that verse is telling you. So when you think you're all alone, you're not. Because you're bought with the price. You've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it says that these angels are ministering spirits to you because you're an heir of salvation. You have accepted his free gift, right? Amen. Psalms 104, 3 and 4 says, "He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. Who makes the clouds his chariot? Who walks on the wings of the wind? Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire?" Some of the angels are called wheel or chariots, fire. Remember Elijah? He was caught up by a chariot. That is one of these angels who was in rank number one of the first list I showed you. They're chariots of fire. He was caught up by angels. Some of them are so majestic. You read some of the descriptions. It talks about having six wings, two to cover the face, two to cover the feet, two to cover the side. And men's hands, that it needs to be able to have hands to minister. Just majestic. But even when the Lord's glory was there, they were covering their face from the glory, not from mankind. The glory of the Lord is that beautiful. As we sang today, "Let us see your face, Lord. Let us see your face." Angels can look on his face and just revel in glory and worship. What's it going to be like when we get there? Amen. Psalm 34, 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." The angel of the Lord encamps. Where you're living, you have angels living around you. Where you're living, they're there to deliver you. I remember a story years ago that I heard back in the 80s. It probably happened in the 70s. It was a missionary that had been over in Africa or jungle area. And they were in dire straits. The people of the tribe came to kill them all. And they were in their house and they were praying and praying and praying. And there was nothing to stop them from coming in. They had the weapons and everything to come in and kill every one of them. And said it was a horrendous night. They just prayed and prayed and prayed. And then early morning, the people outside just melted back into the trees and left and never did anything. And a few years later, one of those people that had been in that group from that same tribe got saved. And this missionary got to talk to him. And they talked about that particular time years ago. And he said, "Why didn't you were part of that. Why didn't you guys go ahead and come in? You knew that we didn't have any weapons. What stopped you?" And he said, "You had an army standing outside all the way around your house. They were all in bright white garments. And we didn't dare come near them. And so we changed our mind and we went home." The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Do you reverence and fear God? You have angels. We walk along stupid as if we just, it's just us. He left us here. He's going to come back and we don't have anything to help us. He's got his angels. He's given his angels charge over you. Keep them safe. Protect them. Deliver them. Do you have something you need deliverance for? Psalms 107, 13 through 14 says that he breaks their bonds. Those things that cried out, and he delivers them. You keep on going down. It says he cuts the doors. He breaks them. He cuts the bars. Even the prison that the enemy kept you in for years, he totally destroys its ability to be used anymore, and he breaks the bonds. Who does that? He sends his angels to do that. His angels perform his word. Amen. Psalm 103, 19 through 22 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven." Anybody have a problem with that? His throne's established in heaven, right? "And his kingdom rules over all." If his kingdom rules over all, who is above him? Nobody. "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding." We've already talked about it. That's what angels do, right? Who obey his word. Angels obey the word of God. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Here's the thing. You're sitting there and you say, by his stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord. Angels stand up and they're ready to do the word. If the disease is coming against you and you're saying, get out of here, you don't belong, I've been healed, they're taking it out. But when you then say, but then again, that was a very real pain, and you know, the doctor did say this, the angels sit back down because that's not God's word. When you stand on his word, they perform it. When you speak against the word and you're doubting, they can't do anything. If the answer's almost at the door and the angel's ready to come walking in and knock the door open to say, here you go, here's the answer you prayed for a week ago, and you start going, is God ever going to answer you? I know I asked, but is he ever going to answer me? I guess he's forgotten me. I don't know that he even heard my prayer. The angel has to stand back because the word says, if you ask without doubting. What you just did is put yourself in between God's answer and what his word says, because the angels perform the word. If there's something you've got that you need, you go in the word and you find what the word says about it. And then you start praying and quoting and confessing the word. And guess what happens? In the spirit world, the angels make it happen. Amen? You're praying for a refrigerator, right? What do we have back there in the back room? A brand new refrigerator. How much did it cost us? Nothing. It was gifted to us. Amen? You asked believing. We were praying, how are we going to get it? And I kept finding different ones, and God kept saying, don't, don't, don't. I had different ones picked out and the way we could do it. God said, don't. All of a sudden, we had a guest say, what do you need? Not only did they get that refrigerator, they bought the cabinet they needed for the kids' room. And it was put together, and they were delivered. God says, guess what? I'm going to pour into you. You were praying for a refrigerator, and God says, I poured a refrigerator and a cabinet. It's a locking cabinet. Amen? The angels go to perform the word. Ask, nothing doubting. He knows what we have need of. He just asks us to ask. Amen. Amen. How many angels do you think there are? Trillions. Daniel 7, verses 9 through 10 says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Many places it says myriads, trillions. Regardless of how many angels God created, it's supposed that one third fell in the fall when Satan made war with God. He only took one third. So for every enemy spirit that's out there, God has two. Minimum. Two. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And those spirits have been, those enemy spirits have been defeated, disarmed, have no power. They only can say. They only have the word of their tongue, which then has no power until you put your tongue to it. you start saying what he's saying, you put your ministry, which is supposed to go to God, to the devil. But see, I don't want to talk about the devil. Because when you speak the word of God, the angels that God's given you go and perform that word. You say, how can I speak faith? You speak the word of God in faith, and God performs it through his ministering angels to you. How many of us can go and touch and grab a hold of the spirit world with our hands? But every one of us can touch it with our mouth by speaking the word of God, and then the angels go and perform it. Revelation 5:11 says, then I looked and heard a voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Many, many, many angels. We're going to get there and they're going to be angels all over the place. And the redeemed all over the place. We're not going to be alone in heaven in eternity. There are warnings in the Word of God about angels. Matthew 18:10 says, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones. Talking about children. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. And you thought, I don't have any angels. Did you grow up from being a little child? Right there it says that you had an angel at least, if not more. They're angels. That is, it's plural, that's right. You had angels assigned to you from the time you were born. Guess what? They know you. How many of them are sitting down and not doing anything? Are you speaking the word? Are you giving them the word to perform? If not, break out the word. They're going to get happy because they get to go and do something. But we have a warning not to look down on them. We have little Hunter that comes here. The very first day that he came, he asked Jesus in his heart. He likes to come. How many kids get excited about coming to Sunday school? He likes to come. He has fun back there. He's learning. Remember, I can ask him just about any Sunday what it was they learned back there. And as a kid, he'll tell me. But it's not, oh, nothing. He's always learned something. Amen? So don't look down on him. He's got angels. He's got angels. His angels are watching out for him. Amen? How about Hebrews 1:14? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Out of the mouth of every word, two or three witnesses. Every word is established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. I've just given you two different scriptures that say that angels are ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation. That's you. If you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you have angels assigned to you to minister to you the things of God. Are you lacking something? Find in the word what he says about that situation and speak the word and see it happen. I want to read you something about what angels wish they knew. 1 Peter chapter 1. 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that has come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Angels look at salvation and can't understand it. How someone who was such a rebellious creature against God could hear about the love of the Savior, turn around, become brand new, and worship Him, and long to be with Him. They saw their fellow angels do rebellion in heaven and be cast out. Some of them are still in chains to this day. The Word tells us that. That hell and the lake of fire were designed for the devil and his angels that fell. That wasn't designed for mankind. It was designed for the devil and his angels. And watching these creatures that have never seen God hear of His love and grace and turn around to start worshiping Him and still not see His face. They look at it and they are amazed and they wonder about this salvation. This is awesome. Because they can see the Father. They can see the Son. They can see the Holy Spirit. They know what the Word is and they perform the Word. And their own compatriots fell away, and they had seen the Father. And for us not to see the Father and yet believe. Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen me? Blessed are they who have not seen me and yet believe." He's talking about you. Christ put a blessing on you because you haven't seen Him. And the angels are saying, "This is amazing. This is amazing that this person, what they used to do, they don't do anymore. And that they have salvation. They're robed in the righteousness of Christ. They can't see it. They just see their bodies the way they are. They see their clothes the way they are. They see their face and they know what they think. But they don't see that they've got the righteousness of Christ in them. And there's one, and there's one, and there's one, and there's one. And here's these others that have it and they don't understand what's going on with them." They look at these things and they marvel. Do you know what that tells me? Christianity is a privilege or an honor to be a Christian. If even the angels look and say, "Wow." You want to blow an angel's mind? Get saved. Get saved and start following Christ. Amen. Hebrews 13:2 tells us, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." You see somebody that you don't know, you've never seen before, share the love of God, share hospitality. You may be entertaining an angel. Yeah, they're in physical form. They look just like the bum down the street. They look just like this, that person or the other. You won't know until later whether or not you entertain an angel or not. So do good to all men. Do good to all men. Because then you're proclaiming the love and the Word of God. Amen. That car that cuts you off and slows down in front of you and you're all upset because you got to go someplace and they're keeping you from getting where you got to go, then all of a sudden they take off and you're like, "Wow, finally." And then you look ahead and there's taillights. Everybody's stopped. And you stop too, and then you inch forward and inch forward and you get past this accident and you realize that that car hadn't cut you off and then got out of your way, you might have been right in the middle of that accident. God does amazing things, and He puts His angels to minister to you. In front of you, behind you, around you. Share the peace and love of God. You may entertain an angel someday. But know that you, everywhere you go, you take angels with you. When you lay your head down at night, know that they're camped around about you. What can come near you? They still have weapons. The enemy doesn't. All the enemy can do is yell over the fence. And you can say, "Oh, it's just you," like Smith Wigglesworth. "Satan, you come to my bedside, it's just you. Good night," and rolls over and goes back to sleep. Amen? That wasn't a little bitty imp of a demon. That was Satan himself that came to Smith Wigglesworth. How many times have we had manifestations that we've seen, different ones, or felt or heard? I know when my dad passed away, Kathy can attest to this because she was there. We were all around his bed all day long, praying and singing. He was in and out, mostly out of consciousness. Different ones had gone outside. Some of the family went out there to be alone. Others went out there because they wanted to smoke a cigarette. And they were just out there talking. And about a certain time when his vitals were getting worse, I told somebody in the room, go out and get him. And just before, I don't know if it was you or who else, just before walking through the door where they were at in that courtyard, a whirlwind started right between them. They're all sitting there, and all of a sudden this whirlwind just starts and just goes up right between them. They're like, okay, we're going inside. By the time the door opens, says, hey, y'all need to come in here. Don't worry, we're coming in. And came into the room, and in the hospital room, the nursing home room, it had been still in that room all day long. It had been so still that we had a fan put over on the floor just to kind of get a little bit of air moving. Because, you know, you get in a room and air's not moving, it just gets a little sticky. And it had been uncomfortable because we had many people coming in. We had about 10 to 20 people in the room at the time. And so it wasn't windy in there, but in that room, but it was comfortable. And as we prayed, as we were around his bedside, all of a sudden this wind rushed straight up through the bed and through him, and you could just feel it going straight to the ceiling. A number of us looked and said, goodbye, Dad. And his body slumped, and he was gone. We could feel the winnowing of angels' wings taking him to heaven. My dad's favorite verse was John 14. Every time his pastor would come, he'd say, what do you want to study today, Bob? He goes, John 14. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He knew Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And I looked at the clock, and I said, Mom, do you see what time it is? The backstory is that a month or so earlier, Mom was woke up by a man's voice in the middle of the night that said, 10. Nobody was there. Well, when September 10th came along and went, and Dad was still in the hospital, I talked to Mom and said, well, Mom, it couldn't be this month because the 10th's already gone. Maybe it's next month because it's October. It's the 10th. It's a long month for us to be watching every day if that's when God's going to take him home. It was October 8th that we were in the room. When Dad passed away, Dad went to be with the Lord. I looked at the clock and it said 10:10. I believe that God gave my mother that message of 10 because she needed to know, I've got it all in my hands. And it wasn't just 10 o'clock, it was 10 minutes after 10 in the month of October, which is the 10th month, that he went to be with the Lord. So God brings us messages of comfort, but he also let us know in that room that we knew that he went to heaven. You could actually feel the presence go up from him into the ceiling. People looked, and not everybody in that room was saved. You could tell something different had happened. So entertain angels. You may be entertaining a human being, but you're still sharing the love of God. And who knows? You might be the one watering the word somebody else had given. You might be the one that gets to lead them to the Lord. You might be the one that says, you know, there's something about you that God wants to do in your life. Can I pray for you? Like Todd White, thousands of people that he prayed for in Walmarts before he started seeing people get healed. But he planted the word and he was diligent. He may have prayed for some angels. Who knows? Maybe God sent a few angels his way. Are you going to go over and see if this person needs it or that person needs it? But eventually, people started getting healed. People started getting saved. People started seeing the love of God and the power of God in their lives. We don't live in this world out here as much as we live in two worlds, the physical and the spiritual. Are your words making your angels sit down? Or are your words letting the angels perform the word of God for you, allowing them to minister to and for you? Start watching what you say. Start speaking the word. If you don't know how to fix a situation, get in the word. Go online. Start finding scriptures about that situation. If it's finances, find everything you can about finances, about giving, about what God says the blessings are, what the promises are. And I want you to remember this scripture. When you do that and you find a blessing in the word, Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You find a blessing in there, it's a blessing for you through Christ. You can claim it, and when you claim it and it's in the word, the angels go perform it. Amen? We don't serve angels. They serve us. We serve Almighty God. We don't entertain angels from the standpoint that we want to encourage their favor. We speak the word and they perform the word, which is God's word. And who was the word? In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. The same word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. Speak the word. Let the angels minister the word. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to let this word go into us, go deep within us, become a part of us. Let us chew on it. Let us meditate on it. Let it become a bumper crop within us of faith. Mix it with faith in each one of us. Let each one of us choose to grab this word and mix it with our faith. Lord, if our faith is low or is weak, you say you give us a measure of faith. Pour that faith into us now. Let us understand the spiritual realm that we walk in, the physical realm we walk in is affected by the spiritual realm. And Lord, put your word in our mouths that as we speak the word of God, your purposes, your will are done by the angels around us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the power that you've given us, that greater than works than you did, we will do because we speak your word. Lord, we thank you, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.